Although I do not mean to terrify you on the second Sunday of Advent, I shall nevertheless speak of Advent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Advent is terrifying, for the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great deafening sound. Elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be incinerated. 2 Peter chapter 3, our second reading for today. You heard Scott read it. Cormac McCarthy's novel, The Road, is a journey of a boy. A boy and his father who loves the boy beyond loving more than all that is. And so it's a boy and his papa on their journey inside the horror of a dystopian hell. There are hints, and we can speculate, but we are not told in the story what happened 10 or so years earlier to bring civilizations and life, the world, and God's beautiful creation to a godless end. Looking back, the boy's father remembers waking in the middle of the night to see a long shear of light and then a series of low concussions. Electricity instantly blinked out forever, never coming back. After which the land burned so intensely for so long that the resultant cloud of ash blots out the sun. And in short order, a colorless, cold, damp, and raw world of black and gray, hunger, savagery, and hiding in darkness and unspeakable fear. If you have read or seen The Road or Stewart's Earth Abides or Alas, Babylon or On the Beach or one of those masterfully real and horrifying post-apocalyptic stories of Earth after the end, then you know the sense of bleak hopelessness that comes in the wake of the event that our prophets of doom call the Day of the Lord, a day of clouds and darkness, a nightmare of thick darkness and no light. The wild man of the desert bursts on the scene today, calling people to a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, because the end is near and you had better get right with your Maker. Advent, when we so look forward to the nativity of Jesus and Christmas and all the wonderful celebrations, Advent is actually a time of terrible dread to anticipate the coming of the Son of Man on the day of the Lord. We may hold in our minds a mental image of the day of the Lord as a time of joyous victory and celebration, victorious glory and joy. And if that's our mental image, then we need to read the Bible, because that's not the promise. The great and terrible day of the Lord may come by the will of God or by the hand of man. The prophets warn, threaten. The day of the Lord will be as if a man flees from a lion and a bear meets him, or goes into a house and leans his hand on the wall and a viper, a deadly serpent, bites him. Sky will darken, heavens will come raining down, life will die, that covering of burnt ash will smother the earth, turn the sea to gray and blot out the sun, setting off a nuclear winter of bitter cold, hopelessness, and despair. Why would you have the day of the Lord? Screams the prophet. It'll be a day of horror. Old Testament prophets of doom tell it bad enough. In the New Testament, St. Peter tells it today in his epistle. John of Revelation presents a horrifying tale, a lake of fire, enormous scorpions whose sting is agonizing, but they do not mercifully kill, and the pain is excruciating and unending. In his gospel, Apocalyptic, Jesus warns us that the sun and moon will darken, terror will rain down from heaven, two will be working in a field, one will be taken God knows where. The one left behind will have no place to hide. Pray, Jesus says, that it does not come in winter. At the imminent day of the Lord, St. Paul sees the dead raised from death as living in resurrection, resurrected, the quick and the dead are lifted up into the air to face the Maker for judgment and justice. Those who are under the God of Jesus may be saved in the kingdom of the Father, where Christ himself will reign, but Kyrie eleison, Lord God, have mercy on those whom Jesus does not introduce to his Father, as he says, I do not know you. I never knew you. Advent. He comes, and we are called not to 18 shopping days till Christmas, not to decorate a tree for bright presents and cookies and milk for Santa, not even mainly, dear people, to recall Bethlehem and the manger, but to prepare for the coming of the Lord who will arrive in our life or in at our death at a moment we least expect. Repent, commands the gospel. Repent. Keep awake, watch, and wait. But you see, our God is faithful. The call is true. The end is near, inevitable, and unavoidable for one of us, for each of us individually in time and turn, perhaps for all of us together, because God is in control. We are not. As Noah found out when the windows of heaven were opened and the rain began to pour down, as Israel and Judah found out when God loosed Assyria and Babylon upon them, foreboding is the sound of it. And yet the holy gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is good news to all with his holy angels in the glory of God the Father. The church teaches, it's our theology, and we believe that life will be changed but not ended. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come, and that includes us, each and every person here. In an unending procession of the saints of God, as the church triumphant marches in the light of God, we have faith in a reasonable and holy hope and the joyful expectation of eternal life with those we love. We are standing on the promises of God. Advent. The wild man of the desert heralds him in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As for us, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And all this, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If you believe, I bid you stand for the creed.
We believe in one God.